Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Tuesday. First with yesterday's news, I and Glenn ZB, we're looking back at Monday, and Vodafone TV launched yesterday, so we'll get some expert analysis of exactly what that is. Marcus lost his keys, so that was a major disaster. Pongaroa have self-funded their own service station or something, and but first up, the coalition talks. Well, the talking continues. Will there ever be a coalition?
So why do I have regrets and reservations that we've put Winston Peters in this position of power? Well, because of all of those reasons, but because he doesn't reflect the views of the vast majority, rather, of New Zealanders. And they are the hard-working Kiwis who are raising kids and living in the midst of modern New Zealand and dealing with all the challenges that that brings. He's the 72-year-old who holds up newspaper clippings in media conferences. The country has gone digital, Winston. A large chunk of New Zealand's workforce won't have looked at a newspaper in years. It illustrates so tragically, I think, why New Zealand First represents an old, out-of-date New Zealand that isn't voting for what's important now and what's important in the future. Whichever way Peters goes, the next government will last one term. If he goes with National, then Labour will get in the next election. If he goes with Labour, Jacinda Ardern will be Prime Minister for 3 years and then gone from the political landscape after that. I just don't see anything good from coming from a coalition that involves New Zealand First and its outdated policies of yesteryear. If there's a lesson to come from this, it is this. New Zealanders need to vote with one eye on the present, but also one eye on the future. The older generations who've backed Winston Peters this year have had it pretty good for decades. But it's their children and their grandchildren who need a helping hand now. In the meantime, I think we should all settle in and prepare for a pretty rough ride, because I think it's going to be a very, very long 3 years.
Well, it's going to be a very long 3 days or 3 weeks. Yesterday, the Herald went with a front page of Today's the Day. I thought that was overly optimistic of them, and it turned out that it was. How optimistic was Leighton?
Now, I've heard all the rumours. Well, maybe not all of them. But I've heard a couple of doozies. I've heard a couple of great ones. And they probably carry nothing. Probably. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. Nobody knows. This is the thing. Now, when you consider that we have been, as long as we have since the election, as long as we have since the final numbers were announced, and we knew that we were going to get something very quickly after that. Well, we knew that before because we were told we were. Winston told us that the decision would be out by Thursday, and it wasn't. And Heather Duplessis Allen wrote a good column in the paper yesterday stating why Winston lied to us. Now, you can say that he didn't lie, he had every good intention. No, he lied. He said it would be done and dusted. Now, let me transfer attention momentarily to North America and the election of Donald Trump. How many election promises, how many points that Trump campaigned on as factual? This is what would happen. This is what he would do. This is full and final. And how many of them we got? We've got a Supreme Court judge. We also have a lot of other judges, by the way, that fall into the appropriate category for his promises. That's one. What else we got? Well, he's working now on Obamacare, sort of. But that's about it. He's being accused left, right and centre of not achieving anything else. Not achieving tax changes, not achieving the Obamacare thing, not achieving the wall, not achieving this, not achieving that. Everything's either bitten the dust or it's floating. Nothing's happened. So why mention this? Because it's the same the world over, essentially.
This is why you're far better off just pretending the whole thing's not happening and watching internet television. And that's where Vodafone TV comes in. It launched yesterday. What is it exactly? Let's see if Glenn Hart can explain. Wait, who?
Glenn, it does sound like an Apple TV concept, is it? Well, yeah, but it's more than just the box. So, I mean, that's obviously, you know, how you connect it all to your telly. But the service, it exists in the cloud, Larry. So it doesn't. Once you've got it all connected up and ready to go, you can stop watching your Celine Dion concert halfway through on your TV, and then get in the back seat of somebody else's car and continue watching it on your phone using the same service, okay. much the same way that you would be with Netflix. But this is offering you all the terrestrial TV channels that we're used to, and all the Sky channels as well. That's really the big thing here, that suddenly now you have access to all the Sky channels that you would with your normal Sky subscription, but in a much more user-friendly way. There's another couple of cool little things about this. There's something they call time shifting, which means that you actually have access to all of these channels over the last 3 days. So if you missed something on Saturday, but you wanted to watch it today and you forgot to record it, you can just go back in time and watch anything that was on any of those channels. So that's a pretty nifty service.
Jeez,
as well.
I don't know where they dug that guy up. He was pretty dry. I don't know if he's got much of a future in radio. We'll come back to Larry's show shortly with some real talent. In the meantime, Marcus had some key issues over the weekend, I think.
In the longest time you've ever looked for anything that's been lost, 3 hours looking for keys. Fortunately, it was a Saturday night, not a Monday heading to work. Found them the next morning. It's always the last place you look, isn't it? I kind of think the kids had moved them there, because it wasn't a room I'd been into, but then again, I kind of don't really understand my movements of that night anyway. Not that there was anything irregular happening. I just don't remember going to that room, but in the back of my mind, there's something a little bit spooky thinking, well, maybe I did.
I don't understand why people just don't have one place where they always put their keys. Like, how hard is it? I mean, I talked to a lot of people about this, and I seem to be in the vast minority of people who put their keys in the same place every time they enter the house. I have a little hook. I'm not going to tell you where it is. It's a secret hook. And the only time that they're not there is because they've dropped off the hook, because I haven't put them on the hook properly. And then they're under the hook on the ground. It's not difficult. Pongaroa. They needed a service station, so they built their own, apparently.
How hard was all of this to raise, all that money and get this done? How hard was it?
Downside harder than we thought it would be when we first started out.
Where did the money come from? How much were we looking at? $250,000?
$250,000, basically. The money has come from within the local community in the form of debentures and donations from our... the Tararua District Council, who invested in the infrastructure here to the tune of $60,000 as a donation, which was absolutely fantastic because they saw the benefit for the entire district in this, and various other bits and pieces. Plus, when we realised that we weren't going to quite hit the target we needed, we approached our partner in this for an interest-free loan, and they said yes.
So this is our light. Allied Petroleum, isn't it? So they've covered over $600,000 in construction costs.
That's right.
So you haven't had a petrol station, 4 years? Are you confident that this will pay for itself, that it'll all work out?
We are. They did their due diligence. When we first started this, the community thought we could actually do it all ourselves, but very quickly you realise that the legislation and compliance around running a petrol station nowadays is so much more complicated than it was 20 or 30 years ago. We realised that we couldn't do it on our own, that we needed, so we needed a partner. So we approached all the major fuel companies, and over a period of months we've refined what we actually wanted. Then we put the proposals out to them all, and they came back with their interpretations or counter-proposals. At the end of that, we were down to three. Then after a bit more talking and refining, we were down to one. And that was Allied.
So is there a pie warmer? Like, that's the main reason for service station, surely, isn't it? So you can snap up a sneaky pie. Imagine going 4 years without easy access to pies. Horrendous. I am Glenn ZB. That has been News Talk ZB for Tuesday. I'll see you back here again with more pies. No, more News Talk ZB tomorrow. I don't know. We might be talking about pies. We often do. I'll see you then anyway.